This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. If there's one word that can aptly define the crisis that has plagued the Ummah on a global level, Muslim and non-Muslim, is the absence of the word barakah. Of course, as Muslims, we identify with the term, but unfortunately, many of us, we lack it simply because we have not adopted the correct measure so that we can have barakah in our life. So we lack barakah in our time. The week is just gone by. The month is just gone by. The year is just gone by. Things are moving so quickly and rapidly. What did the Urdu poet say? Tumne saal ko badalte huye dekha. Aur humne saal bar logo ko badalte huye dekha. Wow. You've seen the year change. I've seen humans change throughout the year. You've seen the year change. I've seen humans change throughout the year. So the time is just gone by. Right, so we lack the barakah in that. Then we lack barakah in our sleep. You get up tired. You get up tired. And we lack barakah in our money. We lack barakah in our money. What they say, there's too much month left at the end of our money. There's too much month, like there's still 2 weeks of the month left and the funds are exhausted. The salary is depleted and wow, there's still 15 days of the month to go. So that's the reality. What is barakah? المنافع الكثيرة بأسباب القليلة. Maximum output, maximum benefit from minimum provisions. Minimum provisions. One of the many reasons why the pious had barakah in their time, in my humble opinion, that I often say in my talks, is that they spent minimum time in necessity. So meal was simple. Whatever was available, just let's eat it. And that is why Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah, who was known as Sayyid al-Zuhad, one of the great saints of the time, Abu Ishaq al-Tamimi was his name. He said, I spent some time with the scholars of Lubnan in a mountain. And they said to me, إِذَا رَجَعْتَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبَلَدِ, when you go back to the city life, then tell people and tell your friends, أَنَّ مَنْ يُكْثِرُ الْأَكْلَ لَا يَجِدُ لِلطَّاعَةِ لَذَّةِ. The one who indulges in food all the time will be deprived of sweetness of worship. وَأَنَّ مَنْ يُكْثِرُ النَّوْمَ لَا يَجِدُ لِلْعُمُرِ بَرَكَةِ. And a person who sleeps for extended time, prolonged time, he will not find barakah in his life. Sleep is a ni'mah from Allah. Allah speaks about this in the Quran in the 21st juz. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. And amongst the signs of Allah, أَيْ أَدَّلَّ عَلَىٰ قُدْرَتِهِ, which reflect His greatness and His magnanimity, is He gave you sleep. And absolutely, a good sleep, a deep sleep, a sound sleep is so refreshing, so rejuvenating. And then Allah says, it's also His bounty that you go and search and earn your sustenance. So the scholars of tafsir write that both of these two are great and noble. La yunafil kamal. They do not contradict nobility, be it sleep or be it earning. It doesn't go against the grain of piety. And kayfa yakunu munafiyan lil kamal. How can it go against nobility when Allah has mentioned it as His favor? However, that very sleep and that very earning becomes problematic when you overdo it. وَإِنَّمَا يُنْهَى الْإِنْهِمَاكُ فِيهَا. When there isn't moderation or discipline, then it becomes a problem. And he also said to Ibrahim, they also said to Ibrahim bin Adham, أَنَّ مَنْ يُكْثِرُ الْكَلَامَ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بِالسَّلَامَ. That say to your friends that the person who speaks excessively, it's highly unlikely, for such a person to leave this world untainted. He will be tainted, he will be implicated, his slate will have blemishes and blotches on it. Why? Because man kathura lagat, man kathura kalamuhu, the one who speaks a lot, kathura, man kathura lagatuhu, kathura galatuhu. If you speak a lot all the time, you're going to hurt a feeling, you're going to offend someone, there's going to be a vulgar word, there's going to be a lie, there's going to be a gossip. That's the reality. Why? Because you're not weighing your words. You're not, analyzing your words. So the pious had barakah in their life. But coupled with that, notwithstanding how much barakah they had, there was yet another amazing thing, and that's what I want to briefly touch on, is that they maximize their time. Someone said, in the English language, our lives are like identical suitcases. Our lives are like identical suitcases. It's just that some people can pack more in it compared to others. Wow. So you drive in two same cars, you have the same trunk. Some people have an art of packing, same size bag. Some people can pack very economically. They get more in it. And that's the reality, that the pious, they packed more into their life. So one of the things that the pious used to do, and that's the message I want to convey, is that while they were engaged in something, they would exploit that moment, that couple with that the tongue would be in the remembrance of Allah. So that act of virtue would now have a double virtue. And if it was a material act that they were engaged in, something permissible and lawful would now become spiritual. So there's a narration in Hayatul Sahaba on the strength of Zayd bin Aslam that he says that once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was patrolling the streets of Medina, فَرَآ مِصْبَاحًا فِي بَيْتٍ, he observed that there was a lantern burning in a particular house. فَدَنَا مِنْهَا, he came close, فَإِذَا عَجُوزٌ تَطْرُقُ شَعْرًا لَهَا, only to discover it was an old woman, an elderly woman, in the late hours of the night. She was carding her wool. She was spinning her wool. She was doing her work. That is what she would regularly do. And she was doing it. But the light was burning. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu realized that someone was awake. And while she's carding her wool, she was singing along the praises of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very emotional and a very, very melodious and a beautiful way. So she said, "Ala Muhammad salatul abrar, salla alayka al mustafawna al akhyar, qad kunta qawwaman bakiy al ashar, ya layta shi'ri wal manaya atwar, hal tajma'uni wa habibi ad dar." Imagine this. Umar ibn Khattab is patrolling, right? A light is burning, a lantern is burning. Umar comes close. Today, if you get up for the call of nature and a light is on at home, you dread to get into that room because you might see what you dread, right? Allah forbid, in an average situation, commonly speaking, you get in, a son is either watching something unsavory or there's earphones and there's something else happening. Really, would you be in those homes that have the privilege of seeing the light on, only to find your son in prayer, crying to Allah, which was the condition of Rabi' bin Khuthaym. Rabi' bin Khuthaym. What did Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say to Rabi' bin Khuthaym? لو رأك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. Oh Rabi', I seen the Prophet of Allah and I seen you. He was a tabi'i, Rabi. He did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I promise, if the Prophet of Allah had to see you, he would have loved you. My word. My word. Sometimes someone gets married in the family and then we tell that son-in-law or daughter-in-law, oh, you know what, if you had to see the dada or the grandfather or the grandma, she would have loved you, you would have loved her. You people have a common personality. And these are human expressions amongst ourselves. Can you imagine the testimony of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to Rabi ibn Khuthaym? And he's crying by night and his mom is asking you, what makes you cry? Have you killed anyone? So he says, yes, mom, I've killed someone. So his mom says, who have you killed? He says, I've killed myself by sinning against Allah. Wow. Can you imagine this? So this woman is singing along. So she's doing her mundane thing. She's spinning and carding her wool, but she makes it meaningful, rich, valuable by praising the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala Muhammad salatul abrar. May the salutations of the pious descend upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salla alayka al mustafawn al akhyar. May the chosen, selected, beloved servants of Allah send perpetual greetings upon you. Qad kunta qawwaman bakiy al ashar. How can I forget those moments of Medina where you would be up in the early hours crying and we would listen to you reciting Quran? Then she tears and she says, Ya layta shi'ri. Ya layta sha'ri wal manaya atwar. Death had to come and separate us. And I know, O Nabi of Allah, you will have the loftiest abode in Jannah. Allahumma fir rafiqil a'la. That were the last words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the highest abode. Ya layta sha'ri wal manaya atwar, hal tajma'uni wa habibi ad-dar. Oh my Lord, I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, I wish, I hope, I pray, I dream that I can also be given a privilege to enter a niche, an opening, to enter that lofty Jannah where I could also be close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Zayd ibn Aslam says, Umar heard this radiallahu anhu and he burst into tears. He sat and he cried and he sobbed until he gained his composure. When he gained his composure, he mustered the courage, he knocked on the door. Late hours of the night, Man alal bab, who's this at the door? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, it is Umar. So she said, وَمَا لِي وَلِي عُمَرْ وَمَا يَأْتِي بِعُمَرْ هَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ. And what have I to do with Umar? I don't have any agreement or any meeting scheduled. And why would Umar come at this hour? So Umar radiallahu anhu, with a crack in his voice and a tear in his eye, he said, إِفْتَحِي رَحِمَكِ اللَّهِ. Open the door, my sister. فَلَا بَأْسَ عَلَيْكِ. There's no harm upon you. There's nothing to worry about. Just open. May Allah be pleased with you. So she obliges and she opens the door. Umar radiallahu anhu respectfully sits at the door and he says, رُدِّي عَلَيَّ الْكَلِمَاتِ الَّتِي قُلْتِ آنِفًا. I ask you in the name of Allah, those profound couplets in which you were praising the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, can you kindly repeat those couplets? So remember, this is my message. She's spun in her wool. You could be driving to work. You could be doing something else. At that time, either there could be music in your ears, or you could just pass the time heedless, oblivious. Or you could be listening to a lecture, or you could be listening to the Quran, or you could be glorifying the Almighty, or sending salutations on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what we need to do. And this is how the pious optimized on their time. This is how they got maximum out of their time. So she recited the couplets again, and she said, "Salla alayka al-Mustafa'un al-Akhyar, qad kunta qawwaman baki al-Ashar, ya layta shi'ri wal-manaya atwar, al-tajma'uni wa habibi ad-dar." So Umar said, "Billahi, I ask you, as'aluki, an tudkhilini ma'akuma." In your last stanza of the poem, you implore Allah to privilege you with proximity and nearness to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that lofty station of Jannah. Can you add one more stanza in this poem and request Allah to also privilege Umar ibn Khattab, that he can also have a moment of closeness and proximity alongside the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So she obliges to the request of Umar, and instantly she says, "Wa Umaru faghfir lahu ya Ghaffar." And O Allah, pardon Umar and include him in my request of being privileged with the proximity of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the gardens of Jannah. I urge you, my brother, I implore you, my sister, while going through your mundane activities, be it in the kitchen, be it in your office, keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. Keep your ears listening to the goodness of the words of deen, be it the recitation of the Quran or the advices of ulama. In that way, we will see goodness and barakah in our life.